Welcome to Purpose Without Limits, the show which strives weekly to empower you to reach your true potential, to help you understand how a simple shift in thinking can make success a reality, both professionally and personally. You'll learn about business etiquette intelligence and why a first impression is so crucial, and the real rules of the game to help you outclass your competition. Your host, Dallas Teague Snyder, is founder of Make Your Best Impression, author of the book Professionally Polished, Business Etiquette Savvy for Today's Competitive Market, and co-author of Executive Etiquette Power. For more, visit MakeYourBestImpression.com. The time to become your best self is today. Here's Dallas Teague Snyder.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to Purpose Without Limits, the show that empowers you to reach your true potential. And as always, we have an amazing guest for you that is bringing a free gift. And you know that we always encourage you to invest in yourself. And by you coming and joining us today, we always offer a free bonus for you taking your time to listen, because we believe that it could be one idea that can change your world. Remember, it's one foot in front of the other. And why do I say that? Because perhaps today you had that extra donut. Perhaps today you thought, you know, I should exercise, but I don't feel like it. Well, guess what? Tomorrow's a new day. And regardless of what you did today, you can change your behavior patterns tomorrow. And today we're going to talk about endless energy, and that's what we all need. Maybe that's exactly what we need to put that one foot in front of the other. Don't you agree? So, what we're going to talk about today, let's just kind of recap a little bit what we're going to be covering. We're going to be talking with Dr. Deborah Green, who's the author of Endless Energy, The Essential Guide to Energy Health. We'll also be going over our listener mailbag question. And always, those questions reflect what our audience wants to know, so they are certainly questions that you'll want answers to. And we have the free bonus gifts, of course, at the end of the show. And remember, our sponsor, who is Barbara Kazam with the Kazamitude Attitude. She's always coming in every week to give you a little bit of encouragement of how you deal with those difficult people. So let's get started with the show, shall we? Dr. Deborah Green is the author of the acclaimed book Endless Energy, The Essential Guide to Energy Health. She's also written a chapter in the newly released book called Goddess Shift, Women Leading for Change. Other authors that have contributed to this book are Oprah Winfrey, J.K. Rowling, who, as we know, is an amazing author, Angelina Jolie, and many others. The book is a compilation of women leaders in a variety of fields, and Dr. Green is considered a leader in the field of energy medicine, and her chapter is talking about the cutting-edge advancements of energy health. So I can't wait to hear what she has to share with us today. Dr. Green, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Dallas. It's wonderful to be here.
Well, I am just so thrilled to be talking to someone over the oceans, if you will. I think I may have shared with you that I lived in Hawaii in 1983 and 84, or as the natives say, Hawaii. And I know you're calling in from Maui today, so we appreciate you, joining us at such an early hour.
Thank you, and I send you a warm aloha from the islands.
Ah, mahalo, thank you. For those of you who don't know, cute story, when I moved there, one of the things, and I don't know if this happened to you, Dr. Green, but I saw the word mahalo written on the trash cans. And so I thought for a long time, well, I wouldn't say a long time, but maybe a month or two after I had moved there, that mahalo meant trash. You know, it just goes to show you that, communication with different languages is so challenging. And I thought that was just kind of humorous when I found
that. And that's very cute. And people say it a lot. You must have thought, us?
Trash? What?
they're talking trash.
Yeah. So, but absolutely, it was a great experience for me, and just such a beautiful way of life there. Well, tell us a little bit about your background and how you got started in this field of energy.
Well, I'm one of those individuals who has always been pretty sensitive to energies for whatever reasons. And I explored, various aspects to understand and learn more about these energies, and it led me on a path to studying more formally you know, body-mind integration and energy medicine. And eventually, you know, I ended up with a PhD in a field called somatics, which has to do with body-mind integration. And I also studied communication, because for me, I'm not so interested in the pathologies or things that go wrong with the system. I'm more interested in how the body-mind system communicates within itself and how we can communicate with it. And so that's been, you know, my focus and my area of specialty for going on 20 years now.
Well, it's so interesting you say that, because oftentimes we disconnect the fact that our mind and our body are so connected. And I think you would probably disagree with that assumption, because oftentimes, you know, we can, I remember, and I would love to know your thoughts on this, but I can remember being, again, going back to my youth and being so excited about a birthday party, and so excited that I actually made myself sick. Physically got a fever.
Yes, and that's a perfect example of how, you know, our emotions and our thoughts affect our physicality, and vice versa. You know, if we have a toothache or our physical body isn't working well, it's hard for us to feel good emotionally and to have, you know, a clear mind. So it's all connected, and it's a very fascinating area of study. You know, how these, what I refer to as energy bodies, interact together. You know, the physical body, the vital body, the emotional body, the mental body, and what I call the universal body, and how they all interact. That's what I study.
Wow, and you know, I bet there's not anybody, unless they have the same, you know, background that you have in studying, would even have an idea that there are that many components of the body.
Well, it's true. You know, it's not something that we normally think about, but yes, there are that many components, and it's, you know, much of what my book is about is, you know, explaining about those different energy bodies and how they work and what comprises them and how they work together and how you can work with them.
Wow, that, so is it, in your book, we'll talk a little bit more about that, but is it written in a way that lay people like myself can understand that, or is it written from a very medical standpoint?
It is written for the lay reader, and that was very important in my mission, in my purpose in writing the book, was to write a book that was very user-friendly and very accessible, so that, you know, anybody could pick up the book and read it and find it easy to understand and easy to follow. And the book has been out for a little less than a year now, and that is much of the feedback that I get, people saying, wow, thank you so much, I can really understand this. You know, it's step by step, it's very readable and very accessible. So I feel really good about that. I think you would get a lot out of it.
Well,
it's not written in a complex, you know, medical way, and I also have to say, it is legitimized with, you know, 20 pages of footnotes, heavily backed by research, but it's not written in a technical way.
Well, and that's just so important. You know, so many of us, especially if we're creative and we don't have that technical brain, for us to process something and it to make sense to us, really what we want to know when we read something is, what can we learn and how can we apply those things to make our life better?
Yes.
And it sounds,
and the book actually has a lot of exercises in it and, you know, hands-on things for people to do. So it's very practical as well.
Wow. Well, it sounds like something that we certainly have needed, because I know that I walked up a hill today. I was delivering some of my books, actually, to a client. They're using them for some study. I did much the same thing with my, what I call, professionally polished book. So oftentimes people make things like etiquette and, you know, advanced communication skills something that are only for the elite, but I believe they're for everyone. And so, but anyway, so I'm taking...
Yeah, I'm with you on that. We are kindred spirits.
Absolutely. So I'm going up this hill today, and it doesn't seem like a big hill, but I get to the top, and I'm like breathing heavy, and I thought, Goodness gracious, I don't consider myself overweight per se, but I definitely need more energy. You know, this should not tire me out. And sometimes I just feel like I am so drained, completely drained. What do you feel about the correlation between stress and energy?
Oh, well, there's a huge correlation between, you know, stress and our energy levels. And, you know, there's different ways to understand stress. I mean, sometimes we think about certain events being stressful, and, you know, if I experience this, you know, situation, a move, a job change, a divorce, a death, you know, that those events are stressful. Being stuck in traffic, you know, that's stressful. But the fact is that stress does not really exist outside of us. Stress exists inside of us, and that's because, you know, one person can be sitting in their car stuck in traffic being totally stressed out about it, and the person in the next car can be experiencing the exact same thing and not be stressed at all. And, you know, that's a good reminder that, the stress is not so much in the situation. The stress is in how we respond to the situation.
To the situation.
Yeah, and we always have a choice about that, you know. So it isn't so much that, oh, I'm in this situation, you know, it's stressful, I'm going to be stressed. We always have a choice about how we respond to situations. Do you want to respond, you know, in a way that is stressful, or do you want to respond in a way that's more calm and, you know, self-assured and relaxed or whatever? And much of that, those kinds of choices, involve choices on the emotional level, on the mental level. They involve our energy bodies.
And do you think that age plays a role in this, or maybe life experiences and how we handle these things? Or what do you think is the key factor of being able to handle stressors with more maturity or more balance?
Well, it's a good question. I don't think it's necessarily related to age, but life experience could play a role, and I would say how much awareness a person approaches, you know, their life with. I mean, there's plenty of people who rack up a lot of life experience, but they don't tend to learn from it.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sorry to say.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, the idea being, yes, you know, when you have life experience, please, you know, be observant of the experience and have some awareness about it and be learning from it. And that kind of approach, you know, can really, really be helpful. I mean, the stress thing is a perfect example, because just realizing that you have a choice in any situation whether to respond with stress or not. I mean, just knowing that you have that choice is extremely empowering. You know, we cannot change the situation. We can't change the traffic, but we can change how we respond to it. And that's very empowering. It's a very empowering stance.
You know, and I definitely see your point there. And I would say, too, also just our initial, you know, not only how we respond to it, but how we perceive it, right? If we perceive it as something that is going to be negative, or we're assuming the outcome to be negative instead of looking at it in a different way.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, negative thinking, or, you know, feeling like a victim, all of this stuff is an energy drain. You know, it definitely impacts our energy. And, yeah, so these are very, very important things to pay attention to, and perception is huge. It's a huge role in it.
Well, you know, you mentioned this about feeling like a victim, and I think I may have shared with you last week, my husband and I were approached by two young men in a parking garage and attacked last Tuesday. And quite frankly, it was very draining. I just felt last week that the energy was sucked out of me, even though we got out by the grace of God, and there were no weapons, thank goodness. needless to say, it certainly made, there was a shift to think about what could have happened, but of course there was a great focus on our part to be very grateful and also pray for them to have a change of heart, because, you know, again, their energy, what they were putting out is something that was just, was very evil and something they'll continue to do.
Yes, and I remember you telling me that, and I so admire you, Dallas, for the choices that you made in that situation, because, you know, when you're attacked in a parking garage, it's very easy to go into victim mode and to feel, you know, sorry for yourself and feel like, you know, you're under attack, of course. But what you chose to do with that was to focus on the gratitude of, you know what, we're okay, you know. My husband and I didn't get, you know, injured, and there were no weapons involved, and even to go so far as to, you know, offer prayer for your attackers, I mean, that's really incredible and a beautiful example of a good use of energy.
Well, I really appreciate that. So, but me feeling, I guess the question I would have for you is that, kind of, again, just me feeling like it was sucked out of me last week, would you say that's kind of a natural response, even though you are trying to focus on the gratitude and again, redemption, but feeling drained is somewhat of a natural response as an immediate response?
I would say probably, and the fact that, you know, that happened less than a week ago, and you are, you know, back in action.
Right.
You know, you're all, you know, effervescent and, you know, feeling pretty energized now, is a very, you know, good example of how you've approached it. Another person who, you know, experienced the same thing might go into victim mode and not just, you know, feel drained and stressed for a period of time while they're integrating the experience, but they might just get stuck there, you know, and then the whole thing can drag on even longer and become, you know, a kind of debilitating experience.
Right, right.
And you have bounced back, you know, and I do think that it's pretty natural, because even though the part of you is, you know, going into gratitude and so forth, there's probably a part of you that was really rattled, you know, and really
yeah,
shaken up, very scared.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those kinds of emotional states or emotional energies, if you will, they have a certain frequency to them. And it's a lower frequency, and so it does pull us down and drain us.
Very, very interesting. So when something like that happens, though, can you consciously do things to bring higher frequency energy type activities together to combat those things so they have less of an impact on you and those start to diminish?
Yes, and very much you can. And making choices about doing that and knowing, you know, that you can do that, such as you did, as I said, it's very admirable and very, very helpful. You know, in general, we could say that, you know, negative emotions and negative thoughts are lower in frequency and have a kind of, you know, draining effect on energy, whereas positive emotions and positive thoughts are in higher frequency and they are more energizing, in general. You know, there are exceptions to that and, you know, caveats and things we can talk about if you'd like to, but in general, that's how it works.
Well, you know what? Let's do this. Let's kind of get, because we only have 30 minutes. I could talk to you forever, but let me do a little just kind of let people know that are just joining us that if you are just now tuning in, we're talking to Dr. Deborah Green, and we're talking about Endless Energy, the Essential Guide to Energy Health, and we are just so excited to have her with us. We're talking right now about energy drainers and also things that give us energy, and we're continuing on. So thank you for joining us. Well, Dr. Green, let's talk about, if we had to say there was one secret to mastering energy, what would it be?
Well, we've already kind of touched on this, but in general, you know, if we're feeling de-energized, fatigued, you know, drained, we tend to think that maybe we're not eating right, or we should be getting more exercise, or, you know, better sleep. And I don't really mean to downplay those things, because they do play a role, but they don't tell the whole story. And the number one secret to endless energy is that energy doesn't so much come from food or sleep or exercise. Energy comes from energy. And energy is the most important thing. If you don't have energy, you can't function on any level. And so energy is our most precious commodity, you know, so to speak. And so we need to pay attention to the energy content of ourselves and of, you know, what we come in contact with.
Well, what would you say for that person that says, well, that's all good and fine and dandy for the extroverts out there, but, you know, that's just not my personality. What do you say to those people?
Oh, that's interesting. Well, it's the energy that I'm talking about doesn't really have to do with being an extrovert or an introvert.
Okay.
It has to do with our power supply. You know, in general, the difference between an inanimate object and a living, you know, person is energy. You know, an inanimate object does not have energy, whereas a living thing does, whether it's a person or an animal or a plant. Anything that's alive has a life force. It has an energy component to it.
Right.
And whether a person is introverted or extroverted, they still have a power supply. They still have vitality. They still have, you know, energy to move and, you know, live and think and breathe and have emotions and whatever. So I'm talking about energy at a very, you know, kind of fundamental level here.
Well, is there anything, so really it's not personality based. You're just talking about, like you said, a life force.
Yes.
And so you said that food really doesn't have anything to do or exercise with it, but what about food and energy? Does it have anything to do with our level?
Yes, it does. As I said, it does play a role. And the role that it plays from the perspective of energy health is, I mentioned that anything that's living has this, you know, vitality, this life force component to it, and that goes for food as well. So if a food is a living food, you know, fresh fruits and vegetables and so forth, they have a very high energy content. Whereas if you take foods that are, you know, heavily processed, have had a lot of, you know, chemicalization, or have had a lot of, you know, manufacturing to them, they tend to have an extremely low energy content. So if you want to be eating in a way that vitalizes you, eat foods that have vitality, eat foods that are alive, eat foods that have the life force.
Right, and it goes back to just general healthy, but, you know, thinking about it the way you put it, you know, put it to our listeners as far as being a life force and having energy, that just brings so much more depth to people saying, eat live food, eat food from the ground, eat food that, you know, that's organic and not processed and all of these things. So, wow, you know, again, thinking about it being a life force and helping you with your own energy is a completely different thought process.
It is, you know, and it can really help a person manage their weight.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm looking at the food I'm eating and paying attention to its energy content, I will be perceiving that food in a very different way. And that also impacts how my whole system will assimilate and digest and, you know, absorb the food, which impacts how, you know, if we're talking about assimilation and digestion and so forth, because the mind plays a role in that, then it can really impact my weight.
Very interesting.
It is.
Very interesting. You know, you hear all this stuff about the glycemic index, and,
yes,
you know, the zone diet and all these other types of diets out there. But really, if you just focus on food that is alive, that is grown, that, you know, then you don't really have to think about what you put with what.
Exactly.
Really, yes, simplifies it quite a bit, I think.
It does. It truly does.
Well, so what are some of the major energy thieves that we should be aware of and avoid?
Well, that's a really important question. And, you know, we touched on one of them, which is food that is far removed from being alive, you know, heavily processed foods, heavily chemicalized foods. These are major energy thieves, and they not only lack in energy content, but when we eat foods like that, because they're energy depleted to begin with, if you eat foods like that, they can actually steal your energy.
Really?
Yes.
That's why you feel so bogged down when you eat something that's has a lot of sugar in it, or like you said, that's processed, and you
yes.
just feel like you weigh 1,000 pounds.
Yes, and perhaps get tired after eating.
Hmm.
You know, a lot of times that happens. You eat something, and instead of feeling energized, you feel a little drained or sleepy even. So get in a habit of reading labels. You know, when you go to the grocery store, read the labels of the foods that you're buying, and if you see a lot of words that you don't recognize, you know that those are probably lots of chemicals. Those are things that actually kill the life force.
Right.
And so don't buy those foods. You know, stick with things that are, you know, that have more energy content in them, that are closer, you know, from the ground, from the earth. However you want to say that.
Yeah.
There's also, I'm sorry, were you going to say something?
No, I was just going to say there's a great grocery store in most places called Whole Foods, and so you can pretty much be safe to know that that's going to be pretty close. You know, if you can't get to a farmer's market or grow your own, then that's, I'm sure there's
yeah.
other natural health food stores out there as well.
Yes, and that's a good point. You know, eating organic kinds of things are actually much more energy healthy, you know, than eating foods that are not. And eating foods that are not genetically modified are much more energy healthy, and so forth. So, you know, those are some tips. And another tip is to avoid microwaving food. Because,
really?
Yes. Microwaving food destroys the energy content of the food. It alters the life force. Because
really?
Microwaves are another energy,
mm-hmm.
you know. And they have this negative impact on the energy content of food. So avoid microwaving your food.
So
that's another tip.
Yeah, so how does that, so what do you consider is the best way to cook it then? I mean, boiling or broiling or grilling, or what would you say would be the best
way
to?
Well, you know, a lot of people microwave because it's fast.
Right, I know, I do.
And convenient and easy.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I do is I have, like, it's a toaster oven. I have a pretty good sized toaster oven that also has a convection, you know, option on it, and that's what I use. And you know, it does not take very long to heat up leftovers. It doesn't take very long to cook things in it. I mean, of course, it takes longer than a microwave, but because it's a small little toaster oven. You know, I'm not heating up the whole oven, and, you know, that just takes longer. So, you know, that's something to keep in mind, is to, you know, use a toaster oven or use a convection oven, or, you know, use your oven, use your stovetop, you know, the good old-fashioned way. What can I say?
Yeah, well, you know, everything old is new again. You know that, right?
Yeah.
And I'm really afraid. I know the 70s have come back, but I pray the 80s don't come back, because it was not pretty for anyone. Oh, well, I've got an interesting question for you, because this used to happen to me a lot, and it still does from time to time, being a entrepreneur and creative thinker. But, you know, sometimes I go to bed and I don't quite get that REM sleep. My brain is just busy.
Yeah.
And so I wake up absolutely exhausted, but not really with any ideas per se. But I find it perhaps I've been doing work before I've gone to bed, or the only thing that I find that helps me somewhat, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this, if I bring out my Bible and I read something that has nothing to do with work, or if I, really that's probably it, or read something that is certainly non-thought-provoking as far as in a business
mm-hmm.
business way.
Yeah.
But if I do have something and my brain is working like that, sometimes I feel my most creative moments and ideas come in kind of a light sleep, and I'll get up and I'll write them down, write them down so I can try to actually go to sleep, and that's helpful.
Yes, and that's a good tip right there. You know, if you have a busy brain and you have a hard time shutting your thoughts off to sleep, write stuff down. Or you know, if you can't write it down, promise yourself, okay, in the morning I will deal with this.
Right.
And you know, then your mind can shut off a little easier. Another thing I want to mention about not being able to sleep has to do, again, from an energy health perspective, it has to do with using technology, and particularly cell phones and computers, and the effect that these have on our energy health.
Yeah.
And they tend to have a very overstimulating effect on our energy. And for that reason, I recommend that before you go to bed, not using these kinds of technologies for at least an hour before bed, but ideally not using it, you know, any time after dinner, I would say.
Oh.
And it's because the electromagnetic radiation that is put off by computers and cell phones, it has a stimulating effect on our system, almost like, you know, like an amphetamine, like a, you know, like some kind of an upper.
Really?
And, you know, I don't know if you've noticed this, but I certainly do. If I'm sitting in front of my computer, you know, and then I try to go to bed, I'm just really amped up. And it's not only because of, you know, perhaps I've, you know, had a stimulating email came in or something. It's not so much because of the content of what you're doing. It's because of the energy aspects, again, the electromagnetic radiation, and in the case of cell phones and other wireless technologies, also radio frequency radiation, which has a very negative effect on the energy bodies. And we could have a nice long conversation about that. I would like to point out that on my website, if I may.
Oh, please, yes.
Which is www.joyfulenergy.com, I have a free download of safe cell phone use tips.
Oh, that is fantastic. And
yeah.
If you cannot, yeah, so that's Joyful Energy, is that
yes,
right?
joyfulenergy.com.
And where do we go on the website to access that?
It's on the opening page.
Okay.
There's a little tab, a little button that you can click on for the download. And there's so much we need to know about, you know, cell phones and wireless technologies and their very definite negative impact on our energy health, and particularly in terms of children. And, you know, children should never use cell phones, basically. I know we're kind of have limited time here, so I'm going to get very blunt and to the point about
please.
A couple of things.
Yeah, no, let us know what we need, because, you know, we're operating, you know, unknowingly, and we might be harming our loved ones and we don't even know it.
Yes. And just to say why this is so important, and it's controversial, you know. I mean, there's a lot of I will actually say propaganda out there that will try to convince you that it's really okay and that there are no harmful effects to cell phone use and other wireless technologies.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that you need to know is that research and those proponents are looking at us as though we are an inanimate object.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing the research as if we are a dead body, a piece of meat. They are not researching us as living, you know, beings who have this energy component to us. And the energy component is what is so susceptible to damage from other frequencies, like electromagnetic radiation and radio frequency radiation. And it's especially damaging for kids. And so
is it because
no cell phones for kids. And also, please don't put a baby monitor in your child's crib.
Really?
Because, yes, most baby monitors are operating in frequency carrier signal ranges that are in the microwave frequency range.
Wow.
And they are a wireless technology, and they operate on a carrier signal that most of them are in the microwave frequency range. And your child, your baby, has no choice but to be exposed to that for hours and hours and hours and hours when they're in their crib, and it is not a good thing to do.
So what do you recommend to those moms that, you know, that the baby monitors are just like the answer to prayer, you know, because they don't have to worry if they make a noise? So what would be, I mean, again, what did they do in the old days before they had
this? I
mean,
what we used to do. We used to just go check on our kids.
Yeah.
You know, thank you very much. We used to just go check on them.
Mm-hmm. Get up
please.
And move, yes.
You know, just mm-hmm. check on them. You know, yeah. and listen. Use your senses. Listen. Listen to the sounds that are coming from your child's room, or stay in closer proximity. You know. That would be the solution there.
Yeah.
So anyway, those are just a few very important things about cell phones and Wi-Fi and wireless technologies. And the last little tidbit about that would be to avoid cordless telephones, because they're even worse than cell phones in terms of their radiation and impact on your energy health.
Wow. So for those of us who have cordless phones around the house, I think I have three of them because I'm at different levels of my house. And we have Blackberries and earpieces and all this stuff that we're just addicted to.
Yes.
Do we need to go cold turkey, or is this something that can we do something to combat the draining energy? What do you recommend for us adults that are already in the danger zone, if you will?
Well, follow the safe cell practices that I, outline
in
my book. I mean, and also in the free download on my website. I talk much more about this in the book, by the way, for those of you who want more information, Endless Energy, The Essential Guide to Energy Health. And there, if you're into the technology use and you don't feel like you can stop it, there are things that you can do, to help counteract the detrimental effects, practicing the safe cell uses, educating yourself, and also there are now some devices and new technologies that exist that are designed to counteract, radio frequency and electromagnetic radiation. And so you can buy some of these devices and, use them. And again, I talk much more extensively about it in the book.
Right, and they can get that by going to your website, again, which is joyfulenergy.com, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we have, as you know, Deborah, and first of all, I know you said we could have a whole conversation about the bodies of energy,
yep.
So I'd love to have you come back and do that.
I'm happy to do that.
Yeah,
that would be great.
Yeah. Well, hopefully people will go to your website, and they can also come to Purpose Without Limits to get the free chapter download so they can get a little test of what your book would be about, and then order the book, and then maybe we can give them a second little tidbit about these energy bodies, because this is just very, very important, because I feel like since technology has come about so strongly, it has really taken away the ability of people to communicate, to function more succinctly, and to focus. I really think we're on to something here about trying to reverse some of the things that has been, let me just give you an example. I was in Czechoslovakia when it was a country back in 1990, and I was looking at some old pictures, and this was before the internet. This was in 1990, so before the internet was what it is today. Mm-hmm. And I had journals and had written down my, pictures and journals where I'd written down my feelings and my thoughts and all of that. And, we just don't take time to do any of that anymore.
It's so true.
And so we don't have the time to even, see how we've grown. We don't take that time to document those things. Our life legacies are really kind of lost because we don't have pictures anymore. They're all online.
Yes.
You know, all of these things. So.
And the important thing that stands out to me from what you said is, I mean, now I might take a picture and immediately broadcast it on Facebook, but I wouldn't take the time to reflect on it mm-hmm. and to write about my feelings about it and my, you know, so forth, which is really important. You know?
Yeah, exactly. What was happening at the time and all of these sorts of things. So that's just amazing. Well, we always, Deborah, I ask our listeners to send in a question. You know, they don't always know where our interview is going to go. They can't possibly. But I think this is a question that most people would probably be asking as they're listening to us today. But, you know, oftentimes during the day, we have those energy dips.
Yeah.
You know, we can maybe I've heard of the things that, you know, biorhythms. I don't know if that is anything having to do with energy. But what can we do if our energy dips? And, you know, is there a way to tell when it's going to happen in our day and how do we combat that?
Yes, it's a good question. You know, this is a very simple solution. But one of the first things to do if you feel an energy dip is to have a glass of water.
Hmm.
And that's because our body-mind system is largely an information, an energy information system, and one of the ways that energy and information travels in our system is through water. You've probably heard that we are, you know, up to 80%+ water.
Right.
And, you know, I think about that Star Trek episode where the aliens describe humans as ugly bags of mostly water.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's true, we are mostly water, and that, mm-hmm. that water plays a huge role in the transmission of energy and information in our system. So if you feel a dip, the first thing to do is to try drinking a glass of water. And, of course, the more clean and pure the water, the better. In other words, you know, tap water,
filtered
probably.
Water, perhaps out of your fridge or something. Is that okay?
Something filtered, something as, you know, as clean and pure and fresh as you can get, and, you know, have a glass of water. And many energy dips can be remedied by just drinking a glass of water. And the other thing to pay attention to if you feel an energy dip is, what am I thinking?
Hmm.
What am I thinking? What am I feeling? Because oftentimes our self-talk, you know, what we're telling ourselves, it has a huge impact on our energy.
Oh, yes.
And if I'm, you know, if my energy is dipping, then I ask myself, okay, what am I thinking about here? Maybe I'm thinking about something, you know, that's upsetting, something kind of negative. And, oh, well, there goes my energy, you know. So it's a good reminder to kind of tune into that, because most of us don't pay that much attention to what we're thinking. We just have this constant stream of thoughts running through our mind and not even realizing the impact that has on our energy. But if you just take a moment and you think about, like, an upsetting situation and then pay attention to what that does to your energy level, it doesn't feel good, you know?
Yeah.
It has a huge impact. And imagine, you know, thinking thoughts like that kind of on an ongoing basis, and then spread that out over time, and you get a clue about, you know, not only depleted energy, but then what can very easily, you know, turn into some kind of physical illness.
Well, you're exactly right. I think I heard 95% of all diseases begin with some sort of stress, which I'm sure mind, body, and energy related.
Yeah.
Again, what we're thinking about. Mm-hmm. And the majority of the thoughts we have that come in, unless we practice, are negative thoughts. We're our worst critics. And so that's just something we can all improve upon. Well, Dr. Green, Deborah, may I call you Deborah?
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for being with us, or say mahalo for being with us today, and I don't mean trash. And just so you guys, so you know that Dr. Green is going to be providing a free sample chapter of her book on our website, which is purposewithoutlimits.com. Again, that's purposewithoutlimits.com. You can find us on iTunes as well. And, of course, you can go to her website, which is joyful.com. joyfulenergy.com and get that cell phone guide. So you want to be sure to do that. I know I'm going to do that immediately because I'm sure whatever I'm doing with my cell phone is not good. So, so the best thing we can do is to arm ourselves with education and be aware and take the steps necessary to do what we can. And, you know, I'm going to make sure that I tell my friends that are having babies now about this baby monitor stuff. I'm sure the last thing new mothers want to do is put their baby in harm's way. They've just spent 9 months, you know, bringing them to life. So,
exactly.
Yeah, I'm sure that they would be very interested in that as well. Well, Dr. Green, Deborah, thank you so much. I appreciate it. We've gone a little bit over, but I think our listeners are going to really get a lot out of this interview. And tell us, you know, how we can work with you briefly, and the ways that I know you're across the ocean, but you know, our listeners are all over. But you know, how, you know, do you do personal type of coaching with people, or what are
they? I do. Yes, I offer phone sessions or Skype video sessions. And I have, you know, my book, and I'm also coming to the mainland next month. And you can go to my website and check out my event calendar. And if your listeners happen to be in any of the locations I'll be, please, you know, come to one of the events where I'll be presenting.
And for those of you who don't know, when she says mainland, she means the United States.
Oh, my Maui ways are showing.
Yeah, when they say you've been on the rock too long and you need to go to the mainland, that means what they mean, that you can get in a car and drive from California to Florida. So, yeah.
But anyway, continental U.S.
Absolutely. So, well, have a fantastic afternoon, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you again very soon, Dr. Green. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, and aloha from Maui.
Bye-bye. We'll be back with more Purpose Without Limits after this TUD Talk Minute.
Hi, this is Barbara Kazam from Kazamitude, spelled KHOZamitude.com, with your TUD Tip of the Week. Today's TUD is the Sweet Tot TUD. These people ask you for favors, and they're sweet about it. They are hard to turn down. Examples are colleagues, even some friends. The solution is to say no, and it's a three-step process. Step one is simply acknowledge what they say. So you might say, I realize that you need 500 copies. Step two, explain your situation. I'm currently working on this project for my boss. Step three is to give a solution. I can have it for you at 4, or why don't you see if Cindy can help you out? The key to success is the solution, and you've got to be persistent. This is Barbara Kazam with your TUD Tip of the Week. For more information, go to kazamitude.com.
Wow, it's hard to believe it. We have gone over this time, but we had so much amazing information. I just didn't think it was really in good taste to stop our conversation when we were talking about things like baby monitors and cell phones, just the things that are draining our energy. Who knew that microwaving food was also draining our energy? Did you know that? I didn't know that. We're definitely going to be bringing back Dr. Green to talk about our energy bodies and learning more about this subject. I think one of the things that plagues us all is that we're trying to do so much, but yet feel so exhausted and just can't seem to figure out what that is. So I know we learned a lot today, and there's still much more to learn. Be sure to go to the website purposewithoutlimits.com so you can download a free copy of her chapter of her book. Again, that's a free copy of a chapter of her book, as well as visit her website, which is joyfulenergy.com, to get the information about a cell phone guide, how you can use that as safely as possible. And just very interesting, the information that she shared about the statistics as far as it being harmful or not. And again, them testing it on non-living objects. So that's just very interesting to me. Next time, we'll be talking to the author of the 250 Questions Every Self-Employed Person Should Ask. So who should listen to this? Anyone that thinks at any time they would ever have a need to be self-employed, Perhaps they are currently self-employed, or they want to start a home-based business for that supplemental income. So be sure to join us. And again, you can stay up to date on all the information and offerings at PurposeWithoutLimits.com. Thank you so much, and have a blessed day.
You've been listening to Purpose Without Limits with your host, Dallas Teague Snyder. Dallas is founder of Make Your Best Impression, author of the book Professionally Polished, Business Etiquette Savvy for Today's Competitive Market, and co-author of Executive Etiquette Power. Visit MakeYourBestImpression.com for more information.